You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Friday, December 2nd, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, and Tony Cicada as well. We go the next 3 hours. We preview all of the Week 13 slate. This is it, gentlemen. We make our final decisions, the final calls. There's no going back from this. We make the playoff push today here on the Roto Experts. Good morning, Scotty.
Good morning. How are you today, Greg?
I'm doing well. I'm all cooked out, ready to go for Friendsgiving tonight, and I am ready for Week 13.
Right. Friendsgiving.
Yeah, I can show you pictures, Corey. Good morning to you as well.
How you doing, brother?
I can show you pictures of what we cooked last night. It was very nice spinach casserole.
Okay.
It came out well.
I'm glad to hear that.
Tony, good morning to you, sir.
Spinach casserole sounds inviting.
It was. I'm going to show the gentleman here some pictures. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah, take a look at that, Scotty.
How about that, Scotty?
Look at that picture. Right there.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we worked hard
really
on that.
Show the effort there.
You can see it, right?
I can see that. That's a good job.
Thank you. There you go, Mike Florio. Good morning to you, Mike Florio. What's going on?
You might want to describe it to the people on the radio.
He put his foot in it.
Yeah.
That means like you tried hard.
I did. Yeah. We did, yeah.
I can see the effort there.
We did. It's basically a cream spinach that's put together and a lot of spinach. Lots of cheese. We got some red pepper in it, so it's a little spicy. It's good. It's good stuff. Made some cornbread last night, some bacon cheddar biscuits.
It was a lot going on in the Sussman household last night.
We did, man. Yeah. We worked for about 3 hours last night. Wow. Ordered some Chinese, watched the second half, Cowboys, Vikings.
Second half? You didn't watch the whole thing?
No, I had the game on in the background.
We were cooking during
the first half.
All right, cool.
The second half, I just sat down and didn't do anything else.
It's good to see Teddy Bridgewater sitting on the sideline.
Wasn't that AJ Peterson jumping around last night?
Uh-huh. But Teddy Bridgewater's was seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's smiling last night.
Yeah, I know. That was interesting
because I was listening to Dallas radio on the way in, and they were talking about, you know, Romo and Prescott and saying just like how Tony Romo's trying to be this good guy on the sidelines, coaching up Dak, talking to Kellen Moore, but you can see it's killing him.
You can.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it doesn't look phony, but it's like, you know, for real.
You know, but Romo involved in the game. He's got that headset on. Let's talk about this Dallas Cowboys game where the Dallas Cowboys survived by the skin of their teeth last night.
I wouldn't go that far.
17-15. And, you know, it was kind of what you, Tony, Scotty, we all kind of expected, right? A game where Minnesota's defense was fantastic for most of the night. A couple of mistakes on special teams hurt them. They played their guts out, wound up scoring them to bring the game within two toward the end of the game, and then Sam Bradford throws it away on a two-point conversion. It was a good game. It was a tough test. Dallas gets through there. But it was a good game, Scotty.
It was a good game. You know, like I figured it was going to be a stiff defensive test for the Cowboys. You know, I was talking with Mike Florio about the game producer before he walked in. And, you know, it really, Minnesota lost that game on the special teams fumble by Adam Thielen. This is what winning teams do. They capitalize on mistakes. And sometimes when you're a winning ball club, the breaks go your way, like on that fumble. You know, when you're a winning team, those kind of things happen. If you want to be a winning team, you can't make mistakes and let the other team capitalize on it. That's the difference between a winning team and a losing team.
Tony, so says Scott thinks Cowboys won because of their winning mentality, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, he's right, though. Those are the that one play was the whole game.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No question. Ended up being the whole game. And when you see a team win, and whether it's being in the right place at the right time or good quality athletes making plays, I'm sure it's a little bit of both.
Yes.
And what happens, though, is you see teams that have survived on that, the next year, it goes back the other way, and all of a sudden the team that was winning games in the last play, all of a sudden, you know, they're a .500 team. So I don't know, but last night, it proved to you last night that this Minnesota Vikings defense is for real in this game. The game plan for the Vikings was suspect. I covered this on the New York Daily News show. They averaged 4.8 yards a carry yesterday. What the hell? Why didn't they run the ball? The game was never out of question. They're just not good running the ball, so I believe they got away from it because they were so used to not doing that. And they put Bradford at home in that game, and they only throw the ball down 5 yards down the field. I would have liked to see more of a running game. Jerick McKinnon looked good last night.
He did. How many bubble screens and 3 yard outs, you know, can you possibly throw? They had two downfield throws, you know, that one called back by Patterson. Another, why do you just throw to Laquon Treadwell? Another bounced off Charles Johnson's hand. Mm-hmm. The offense was inept. But, you know, Dallas did what they had to do. When you're a winning team, you capitalize on mistakes.
Yeah, they did, and you could call the offense as inept as possible. But all well and good. Vikings should have tied the game. I mean, they had a chance to tie the game. Game on the line, 2-point conversion. What else do you want against a 10-1 team, right? Like, they're 10-1. You are 6-5 here, and you have the game on the line. You're there at the goal line, so you could call what the Vikings did all the mistakes out.
If you don't fumble, no. If you don't make that fumble, they put themselves in positions to be desperate at the end of the game.
Absolutely, and even if you take away the fumble, Scotty, the way they put themselves in position to be there at the end of the game in a negative aspect. Field goal after field goal after field goal, field goal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that was the thing. Yep. Not getting in the end zone. Yep. Like everything. Those come back to haunt you in a close game every time you settle for those field goals. And you saw it, Dallas, right? They had two opportunities. They cashed in.
Both of them. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, there was a big cheer from the crowd when they made that first field goal because that's like an accomplishment for them.
Corey, you know, you've heard all of us analyze it now.
I've heard it. I've listened. I've taken it in. Special teams. I feel like we talked about special teams when it came to this game yesterday.
We did.
And it absolutely was correct, hit the nail on the head. Just not even just the fumble by a Thielen, the bad punts.
Sure.
Setting up good field position.
Awful.
You know what I'm saying? Once again, Dallas, you know what I mean? Not the sharpest last night. They came out. They turned the ball over a couple times. Dak wasn't sharp. You could tell the Minnesota defense was definitely up for the challenge, and they were a stout unit last night. But at the end, the Cowboys' offensive line just was able to bear down. They took advantage of the mistakes, like Scotty said. You know what I mean? Got a couple big plays to Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant, once again, becoming a big play type guy, especially for Dak Prescott. I think he was 4 for 86. He's making these passes. He's making these receptions count. You know what I mean? Getting in the end zone and making big plays. So, I mean, just timely winning football, like Scott
said. By four, the five guys on the offensive line. Doug Free had a bad
Doug Free's
game.
Horrific.
Doug Free's been horrific for years.
Yeah, Doug Free. Yeah. I'm surprised Doug Free's still in the NFL.
Same. I mean, he's been awful for years.
Yeah, he's a penalty.
The first year the Cowboys signed him, he was awful.
That's
how
much they should pay him, Doug Free.
Maybe that's why he's on the team, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. This was Dak Prescott's worst game. Is that fair to say?
He was pretty bad against the Eagles in the first half against the Eagles, too. He struggled
the
first half.
I don't think he was bad last night, though. He was conservative, I thought, would be a better word than bad.
Yeah,
he did.
I mean,
he did.
The ball 18 times.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He had the sack fumble, but still, it's like, you know, for him to those two plays to Dez, those are plays you have to make as a winning ball club. And if you had Dak as a fantasy quarterback, you did. You know, he saw Dez Bryant between the defensive backs last night, made that big play, saw it right away. Then he saw the big cushion that Xavier Rhodes was giving Dez Bryant, and he picked that apart right away. So
he
had his worst fantasy game, but as an NFL quarterback, he did what he had to do.
Made a play,
with
Jason Witten in the later on in the second half.
Jason Witten didn't catch a pass last night.
It was called back.
It was
the Witten catch was called back.
So what they got the first down on the next play.
Yeah. He actually ran when it was third and 13.
He ran for 14
yards. He had I think 30 rushing yards last night, but all of those rushes were key.
Jason Witten ain't catch a pass.
No, first time in 180 games. He did not catch.
That sucks for him.
Yeah. Or 108 games or something like that. Yeah.
We had several commercials run last night.
It was so Dak Prescott, I think, in a fantasy respect, did not give you what you wanted last night if you started him personally. You needed more from your quarterback. Ezekiel Elliott, 20 carries, 86 yards. He did have that touchdown. His fantasy day, certainly relevant. Also had 4 catches for 19 yards. Fumbled it early, recovered his own fumble. But Ezekiel Elliott continued, and this is kind of what we expected. He would, you know, keep running until he wore down the Vikings defense a bit. It happened. Did have a long run called back on a penalty.
42 yards on a holding.
Yeah, I mean, that would put him way over 100 yards, so that hurt. But Elliott did what he needed to do for you last night.
Yeah, he is one of those guys that I think, you know, I talk about a Colin Kaepernick. I just think that when you look at Colin Kaepernick, Ezekiel Elliott, these two guys can never have a bad game from your fantasy-wise. And that has to go in into some sort of perspective, like how important that is. Like, we talk about Ben Roethlisberger every year being a guy that four games that he puts up no points, 3 points,
yeah.
2 points,
yep.
and really hurts fantasy team. You're not going to get that from Elliott or Kaepernick. I really look at those two guys that Elliott's always going to get 20 carries, and with that offensive line in the second half, they always have a big play. This time he got called back by a penalty, mm-hmm. and he's always able to have a big run. And Colin Kaepernick, they run so many plays, and he runs the ball, and it's so out of character, that whole offense, that he on the worst day, he's going to put up 17 points. And I look at these two guys, and they stand out head and shoulders about to me in those two situations.
You guys have also mentioned here Dez Bryant, who had the big plays, who got deep, got wide open early in the first half. Prescott made a perfect throw on him, fell down to the 1 yard line as he converted. Obviously, scored the touchdown toward the end of the game on a nicely designed play where you have Dez matched up 1-on-1 with somebody, even if it's Xavier Rhodes, and he's not going to get beat there. He's not going to miss there. So, Bryant, as you said, Corey, big play receiver, making big plays last night, and he did, 4 for 84, and that touchdown in a conservative game plan against a very good defense in Minnesota. Nobody else did anything. Cole Beasley at 2 for 23, Terrence Williams 2 for 13, and I mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. Dez Bryant, when games they open up this offense, he is going to be the monster that we kind of expect him to be, and even in tough matchups, he's still very, very, very reliable.
No, and that's kind of what you see in the offense in Dallas. It breaks down very easy when it comes to fantasies. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant.
That's it.
You get a little Cole Beasley here and there, much less now this time of the season with Dez healthy and rolling. And then, other than that, you know, you sprinkle in a Jason Witten, 2 for 45 every now and then. That's probably not what you're looking for at your tight end position. But other than that, it's set up perfectly. You know what the options are.
You know what Tony was talking about yesterday with matchups and, like, smaller defensive backs against bigger wide receivers. I just got so many questions, Roto Experts, email advice, Twitter, et cetera, about should I bench Dez because he's going against Xavier Rhodes?
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of drove me crazy, like especially this late in the year. And there was one catch from Dez last night on a key down where he skied above the receiver, reached his hand out there with no defensive back can get it. People often assume, and I say this again and again, but it's true, and I got to reemphasize this time of year, that when a good offensive player goes against a good defensive player, they get worried about the offensive player. You know, the offensive player, a lot of times, is going to win that matchup. Dez came to play last night. It's very interesting about how we've talked so much about Prescott and so much in Elliott, though, but when the Cowboys faced their stiffest test of the year last night, it was Dez Bryant who came up with two of the biggest plays of the night.
It was, and I got to ask you this, Corey, as we kind of wrap up the Dallas side of things here. Dallas defense, you started them last night, I assume.
Yep.
How did that go for you?
I will check on that right now.
Well, I can answer the question.
Did,
I started Dallas defense also.
Yeah.
For me, they had, I believe, 6 or 7 points total, which I was okay
with. That's not bad.
Which I was okay with. And if they didn't allow a touchdown.
Another interception nullified on a penalty.
That's right.
Penalty.
And then they had an interception drop, too, on that stupid play that the Vikings did when
Jerry McKinnon
the football. Yeah.
And, you know, you did get the fumble. They had a few sacks last night. And if they didn't allow that touchdown at the end, it would have been even a bigger game due to the points scored. So they
decent. I was satisfied.
You got me 6 or 7 points. I will take that. Very, very satisfied with the Dallas defense last
night. I got 5 points from the Dallas Cowboy defense. My opponent got 18 from Dez Bryant, but he's way out of it, so there's no reason to worry about him.
Okay.
That was just a little
update.
They
had 3 sacks last night. You know, for a team that wasn't sacking players, they had 3 sacks in that contest last night.
Yeah. They were just like that, you know, that right side of the left side of the offensive line. They were just. TJ Cummings just like such a bad pass blocker. You know, that was a matchup that if you start in the Dallas defense, you know, you had an advantage. Yeah, their front seven plays pretty well. You know, Sean Lee, very active.
Yeah.
Let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to look at this game from the other side of things, Minnesota, including, as Tony mentioned at the top, Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata, and why Minnesota didn't run the ball as much, and the return of Stephon Diggs. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Tony Zicata, Scott Angle, and Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, with you on this Friday morning leading into week 13. Coming up is Mike Lyon in the 9 a.m. hour. hour. We're also going to go over a hot roster card here this morning. A little fun thing. Corey Parson bringing to the table. Speaking of Corey Parson, he's also bringing something to the table tomorrow afternoon.
Yep, that's right. Tomorrow afternoon. I thought Scott was going to do it.
Well, we definitely, he literally just said to you, Greg's going to throw to you, and you pump up your chat.
He didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
You said that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. My mom's is texting me right now.
Is everything okay with your mom?
Yeah, everything is cool. Just, you know how that goes. It's important to her, but nobody else. No, yeah, definitely. It's week 13. So yeah. Come tomorrow afternoon at noontime. Come rock with the Fantasy Executive. And we'll get you ready to set your lineups.
At
RotoExperts.com. It's part of the exclusive Edge package, the chat with the Fantasy Executive.
Yes.
And hopefully you're not setting your last lineup.
Ooh. If you're chatting with the exec, you won't be.
I kind of feel that way.
Some people don't listen.
That's true.
This is true, too. Some people
do
not listen.
They still go their way. Or like, you know this, Tony. They try to get you to sell you on the decision they want to make, no matter if you will go the other way.
Oh, yeah. They want you confident. They want you to back them up so they can feel confident about it. And then they can blame you also if it doesn't work out.
Well, I say that all the time, right? I legitimately say that all the time.
Who's that?
That's Lucy. She works here.
Oh, okay.
So we're rocking Riley's, and we now have we're in our studio. Windows are open. Glasses out.
But they got some plants covering us.
Well, the plants
though.
Are just covering us for now until they figure out where to move the plants. But plants were not covering us last night when we opened the glass.
Okay, all right. I just was asking because I saw you. You know,
well, yeah. So
waving at a young lady.
So we have our friends in the Rockin' Riley's walking around here. I'm sure throughout the throughout.
Greg, you're a waver guy. Like, I'm the opposite. I she should be waving to me.
She waved to me. I waved back for the record.
That's very good. That's very good. That's how I would have played it as well.
Thank you very much. Tony.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The guy makes spinach dip casserole and knows how to control
so,
a woman.
The spinach dip, I wanted
future to... Future Donald Trump.
So my spinach casserole, I actually wanted to take Tostitos out and use it for spinach dip, but I got yelled at for that, so I couldn't... Wasn't
really?
Allowed.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have done that, too.
I would have done the same.
When you talked about it, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, she was like, this can't happen.
Yeah, I
what's your favorite appetizer when you guys go out to eat?
Oh, I love the spinach and artichoke dip. Huge spinach and artichoke.
I can do that. I like
too.
The pretzels with, the little cheese steak.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
On the side. That's
love
the
bear pretzels,
that.
Right?
Love that.
Bear pretzels, yeah. Does your girlfriend know Lucy?
Is my girlfriend known Lucy now?
Oh, that's interesting.
She doesn't know any of the friends that I met here.
Oh, okay.
You see a lot of people walk by and wave to me.
Okay.
You know, I'm a pretty popular guy around these parts.
I understand.
Scott, what's your favorite appetizer?
I don't know if I do have one, though, but it's like, you know, if I... So sometimes I'll go someplace, you know, they might have like Kobe meatballs or something like that.
Ooh,
you know,
fancy.
Which is pretty cool.
It's pretty fancy, yeah.
You know, some sort of... mozzarella.
Ooh, mozzarella
tomato.
Sticks. Oh, yeah. Mozzarella tomato.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a fancy guy. The mozzarella tomato and the Kobe.
Yeah, what
balls.
Happened?
I'm looking at mozzarella sticks and spinach artichoke, and this guy's talking Kobe beef meatballs.
Yeah.
That's
fancy.
He's big time.
Yeah, that's royalty right there. All right. the Vikings last night, they were led by a very slow passing game, but conservative passing game. Sam Bradford threw the ball once again quite a bit. 45 times he threw the ball for 247 yards and a touchdown. Led by Adam Thielen, who you guys didn't love yesterday. Thielen, 7 for 86. Did have that fumble.
Tony liked him.
Tony did like him. The other guys didn't. 7 receptions for 86 yards. Stephon Diggs, in his return, had 8 for 59. This is kind of the story here, Corey, each and every week when Diggs is out there. A ton of catches, just not many yardage. In fact, his longest reception of the day was 15 yards.
Yeah, I mean, that's his game. You know what I'm saying?
It's not his game. It's the Vikings game.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the Vikings game. You nail on the head on that one. But yesterday, I think Diggs is still pretty nicked up, or at least a little bit. And you know what? Diggs was well covered by the rookie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He was well covered. So I was
you talking about Brown?
Yeah.
He got burned all night, didn't he?
Brown wasn't on him a lot of the night. Yeah. You know, there were a few times he was on him. I don't think he's hurt. I just think, you know, it was the semblance of the offense. Because we saw him catch like 13 balls for 80 yards a few weeks ago in kind of the same style where it's just underneath.
So why wasn't they looking at him more last night?
I think they were throwing like a ton of bubble screens to the corners. They went downfield a few times. They tried to spread it a little bit. Even Charles Johnson got involved last night, which was a little bit of a surprise. But it was a frustrating passing game to watch. You're just like all these screens and 2-yard outs and 4-yard slant patterns. It was just like It was watching a semi-pro team.
He could have been targeted that. I mean, he couldn't have been covered that well. He was targeted 8 times. He had 8 catches.
Yeah, it's just it was the style of throws that they threw to him. It was just like underneath slant, you know, stuff like that. A comeback route here for like 5 yards.
The game plan, though, well, this was the game plan going in because Kyle Rudolph was targeted 12 times, Jerick McKinnon 6 times. Mm-hmm. So 18 targets right there, right around the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, they were trying to control the clock.
When they tried to go
downfield,
keep it away
from the offense, be high percentage.
When they tried to go downfield, they were extremely unsuccessful doing that. Had a couple plays of Thielen on 1 for 23 yards. But
one bounced off the hands of Charles Johnson. There was another one. They tried to throw a jump ball for Laquan Treadwell, but Treadwell to jump though.
People were drafting him and Josh Doctson. Ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Yeah, come on now. You know better than that.
Laquan Treadwell is the most overrated wide receiver since Cordarrelle Patterson was a rookie.
There you go. Both of them dudes on the same team.
Cordarrelle Patterson at least caught a ball when he was a rookie. Laquan Treadwell caught one.
He has one reception as well.
One reception his entire year. Cordarrelle Patterson more than that.
At least he won't lose the football like for his first catch. He won't confuse it with the others.
That's true. Yeah, that's completely true. Adam Thielen. Again, I realize we're into the playoff stretch here, but he's probably a guy, Tony, we're going to be able to start, right? I mean, if this is the offense, and I don't think this offense is changing Minnesota, Thielen's pretty startable.
He's pretty startable, but you got to worry about, like, last night they threw the ball 45 times, right? So this is a very good defense. How many times is Sam Bradford going to have to throw the ball 45 times to try to stay in this game?
Right.
So I'm a little concerned about that. And then he doesn't get down the field. He averaged 12.3 yards per catch last night. He had the 23-yard catch. They don't throw it down, so you're not going to get a big play. It's like, I think he's safe, is the words, for like 12, 13 points.
Yep.
But I'm never going to get any upside with this guy.
That's true, but getting that 12, 13 points, obviously, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. He threw it 45 times last night, Sam Bradford, the most he's thrown it all year. But if you look at the last 4 weeks before that, I mean, 40 times, 28 against Arizona, 37 times against Detroit. So he is throwing the ball, probably, Scotty, because they can't run.
Yeah, but look at the yardage last night. It's like, you know, it's like, a million slants and bubble screens.
But that's good for Adam Thielen is what I'm saying.
Et cetera. I know where Tony's coming from. I know where you're coming from. And what you guys are saying is together, and you're both correct, 10, 12 points isn't bad. But to Tony at the same time, like, you know, the mentality of any fantasy player is, I want more upside from that. Tony's saying there's not any upside really with Thielen. And I kind of agree with him.
He's totally right. Tony's totally right with that.
Yeah.
But in certain positions as we go into the playoffs, I think, you do want that safe factor. You do want that high floor where you're guaranteed X amount of points from a guy. And I think that's what Adam Thielen's getting.
I don't know.
Right
it depends
now.
On who you talk to.
You think he has
to.
A high floor?
I think his floor is pretty safe.
I think it depends on who you talk to. There's a lot of fantasy owners who want upside because, you know, it's the playoffs. And you want to have the highest ceiling you possibly can have.
I can see it. I think he's a flex.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's a great player. Yeah, you know.
He's a flex in the PPR. You like him better when Diggs is out.
Sure,
if Diggs is banged up. But,
you could say
I would worry about him if Diggs is healthy, though. Because I think he was, you know, he had 7 receptions last night, threw the ball 45 times.
I don't know if Diggs was, like, injury was really related to anything last night.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I'm just, that's one night that we've seen this. The rest
a few weeks ago, he caught like 13 passes for 80 yards.
Diggs,
you know,
there's
nothing happening after the catch with Stephon Diggs a lot of times.
Oh, so that's why you're saying Diggs is irrelevant if Diggs
right.
is there or not.
You know, he was good enough to play. It was the routes that they were, you know, that they were calling for him.
I wouldn't feel comfortable having to start this dude every week, especially in the playoffs. But hey, whatever.
The wide receiver for him.
Running game wise, Tony, you actually mentioned it. You said they were running it pretty well last night. They probably just went away from it because they're so used to getting away from it. Jerick McKinnon had 9 carries for 41 yards. Matt Asiata had 6 for 30. McKinnon also had 5 receptions, 14 yards in the passing game, including a touchdown at the end of the game to give Minnesota a chance to tie. Now, going forward, I mean, they were good, solid last night. You had Jerick McKinnon, you got like 14 points in the half PPR, quite a bit more in the full point PPR.
Most of the bad power was on most people bench, too.
That's what I was about to say.
Yep.
The problem is, I don't know who felt comfortable starting Jarrett McKinnon last night. I had him in a league. I didn't start him. An opponent that I'm playing in another league, he had him. He didn't start him.
Yep.
Are you going to be, in the playoffs come, you have Jarrett McKinnon. Are you going to feel comfortable starting him then? No.
Nope. And that's the thing. Last night, you know what I mean? I mean, you probably rostered him a couple times, probably got you in trouble.
Yep.
You relegated him to your bench.
Yep.
And then he gives you, borderline RB1, RB2 numbers in the PPR.
But you're never going to feel comfortable starting.
In week 13, when you needed him the most. Suckers.
It's fantasy football, man. It's fantasy football.
It's fantasy football. There you go.
Tony, are you going to ever feel comfortable starting Jarrett McKinnon?
No. I mean, if you got the Atlanta Falcons 1 week, that would be about it.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Saints or something like that. It's just too tough to go. And like you see, he actually played well, and they limited him. So not only can he not play well, then you have to worry about the coaching staff giving him the ball. I mean, this was amazing when I looked at the numbers and how well they were doing in the running game. And they basically just abandoned it and threw the ball and tried to make some big plays.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I can't do it either.
Well, they got Jacksonville. They got the Colts coming up in
the matchups don't matter.
December 18th. Would you play him against the Colts, Tony?
But depending on what you had, I think is there. I think at least he could have a chance against the Colts.
Yeah, he does. I don't think the matchup matters though, because even in a game that was close here, like last night, Tony, they didn't run the ball. They got away from it. He didn't even have double digit carries.
And you know he's not getting it at the goal line.
Right. Exactly. It makes it very, very tough to do that, even when the matchup's good, like a Jacksonville or an Indianapolis.
I don't think Jacksonville's that great. Indianapolis though is one of the worst teams.
Right. I can see him ripping off a 25-yard run for a touchdown.
What are your final takeaways from this one, Scotty? I'll start with you.
Final takeaways is, again, you don't bench Dez regardless of the matchup. He's the most uncoverable wide receiver in the red zone in the NFL, and very often on third down. From the other side, you know, Minnesota now has lost six of its last seven. They're reeling. They're still playing solid defense, but that offense is just very hard to watch.
Tone.
Dallas, they played a tough game on the road and came out victorious. Thought they were a well-coached game. They knew that Minnesota could not score a bunch against them. They didn't let Dak Prescott throw the ball around in that game, and they realized that eventually they were going to pull that game out because Minnesota couldn't score enough. I thought it was a really well-coached game by the Cowboys.
And finally, your team, Corey.
Oh, well, from the NFL standpoint, this is like Scott says, you know what I'm saying? This is what you have to do when you're trying to push it to the next level.
Right.
Got a big matchup coming up a little week and a half from now against the New York Giants that will do a good job of telling the tale. But as far from fantasy perspective goes, it's four players that you're comfortable with on these two teams, in my opinion.
Right.
And that's the three on Dallas. I'm not including Cole Beasley in that mix. I think.
He's saying Dez Bryant, Ezekiel Elliott, and Dak Prescott, he's saying.
Yeah, I'm not including
you. Really think Dak Prescott? See, I look at Dak Prescott the next couple games. I don't think he gets the number of throws. Like that 18, I think we're going to see a very similar game against the Giants where he's not going to throw the ball a ton.
So I don't know. We know that the Giants should be able to score. Giants should be able to score.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting right now, next week. Yeah, because the Giants have a defense and they can score, so that's one thing. And number two about it is just like, you know, I was listening to Dallas radio, like I said, when I was coming in, and people are waiting for Dak to make a mistake so they can say, okay, Romo's still a better quarterback, put him in there. And every week, now you're ramping up from Minnesota to the Giants, and then you talk about the playoffs. Every week at this point, the challenges are going to get stiffer and stiffer for Dallas.
But he has not let him down yet.
Now he's done what he's done to make him 11-1, and that's fantastic. But you're getting into uncharted territory here, and
it's uncharted territory.
But when you
territory going into Lambeau. It was uncharted territory with the Baltimore Ravens number one defense. It was uncharted territory with the Philadelphia Eagles playing good. It was uncharted territory going into Minnesota.
And now you what I'm saying is I'm not disagreeing with you. The next deck up is
you got
the Giants
game on the road.
And then you got the playoffs. So, you know, that Dak has been passing all these tests. You know, let's see how far he can go.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with him. And on the Minnesota side of the ball, you know, it's Diggs and that's really it. Those are the four guys, in my opinion, that you can count on going down the stretch from what we saw last night in the two kickers.
Tony,
Forbath definitely is a guy that they can rely on.
Tony, you want to finish your thought here?
Yeah, I look at it's going to be interesting against the Giants. Terrence West, right? 23 carries, 87 yards, 2 touchdowns. I look for him to take that approach with Ezekiel Elliott. You'll see 30 carries, 150 yards against him. And you want to talk about, we dissected that Giants, the Cowboys, and who they've played. The Giants have played nobody.
Giants have absolutely nobody.
He makes a good point. And you can look at just about everybody's schedule in the NFL because all the parity, and say that about any team.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can.
The Browns, Bears, Bengals, Rams, Packers.
Yep.
Giants. Redskins, early Saints.
Okay, I'm open to it. Tell me what team is really like dominated like a very tough schedule.
I'll have to do that during the break. Let's do it now. When we come back, we'll go over some headlines from yesterday, headlines going into this weekend, I should say, and we'll get into the game-by-game previews. We'll do it next. You're the Roto Experts. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Tony, did you happen to find a team with a good schedule so we can shove it in Scotty's face?
I would say the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, Scott.
The Denver Broncos with not a very a great team, right, thus far, the Broncos. In that AFC West, the San Diego Chargers are the worst team in that division, right?
Right.
And that's a pretty good division there.
Yeah.
The Broncos thus far have played Carolina the first week of the season.
Yeah.
Then Indianapolis, so another easy game. Yep. Cincinnati, Tampa, Atlanta, San Diego, Houston, Oakland, New Orleans, Kansas City.
It's a pretty tough schedule.
All teams right around 500 or better.
It's okay schedule.
It's a good schedule.
Yeah.
It's a good schedule.
Thanks for helping Sussman out there. He couldn't do it himself.
I didn't really try. I knew I had Tony on my back.
Yeah, it's okay, but I'm saying you know, is there a team out there that say, you know, they beat all these big teams, you know, because it really doesn't exist in today's NFL.
Well, Denver did a nice job.
Yeah, I'm saying it's okay. You know, it's not quite what I'm looking for. You know, like, okay, this team knocked off, like, you know, three of the top teams in the league, you know,
right,
on its way to, like, a big winning schedule. But we always do that. Like, we talk that way as football fans are like, well, they didn't beat anybody. To beat a winning team, you beat who you're supposed to beat.
Tampa Bay has been beating some pretty good teams.
Oh, yeah,
recently.
Kansas City, Seattle.
Yeah. And,
you know, I want to see what they do this week, too.
Tampa Bay's definitely beating some good teams. That's true, for sure.
If I was Seahawks,
I'd you know what? You know who's done that? You know who's beating some good teams or played very well against them? Atlanta's beating some good teams.
I know
we hate Atlanta, but they've beaten some good teams.
In the regular season.
Atlanta's also lost, like, four of its last six, though.
I understand. They played a tough schedule.
Atlanta lost four of his last six.
Yeah, they started 5-0.
Really?
Something like that. What are they? They're 7-5 right now. I'm sorry. Right?
They're 7-4 right now.
7-4. So they've won.
Did they start 5-0?
Yeah, they lost four in the last six. Yeah, they started 5-0.
I thought Minnesota was the only 5-0 team. All right.
You cool with that? So, Corey, you good?
I'm about to look into it.
Yeah, I feel.
Don't see the Falcons as like a significant playoff contender because of that defense, though.
Let's see.
They'll be there.
The Falcons were not 5-0, Scott.
They'll be there. And they have
4-0.
They were 4-1.
They'll be there.
They lost their first game of the year.
They'll be right there. They'll be there, and they'll have a home game. That's what makes them a threat to advance.
If the Giants went to Atlanta, I would like the Giants.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I think we all knew that.
What about Washington?
They're 4-1, so
that'd be fun. Washington and Atlanta in the dome.
They lost four of the last seven.
Well, you can also like flip that and say they've won. Oh.
I just, you know, I've seen them like third in the power rankings, like, you know, across a lot of sites, and I'm not buying it.
Okay. Well, nevertheless, let's go to the headlines from yesterday. With the biggest one, of course, being the fact that Rob Gronkowski, back surgery, most likely now out for the year. Maybe he'll be back for the Super Bowl if they get there. Maybe not.
Not for your fantasy Super Bowl.
But not for your fantasy Super Bowl. Gronk is droppable, and it's clear, you know, he hurt a lung, but it was really also his back.
His back has probably been hurt. That's the thing. It's probably been hurt.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's had eight surgeries in his career. I think like three are on his back.
All right, so here's the deal. Is he washed? I think that's where we're at right now.
Well, here's what I want to say about this. Okay. I want to say Tony Zincata's right, 100% right. And he has said since before the season started, when I talked to him over the summer, that Rob Gronkowski will not be on the Patriots next year.
You know, there was an article, I think, in the Boston Herald last night, the same thing about how they get rid of players just before they're about to decline. They even did it with the guys like Randy Moss and Deion Branch. I almost wanted to tweet the guy and say, what, do you listen to Tony Zincata on the radio?
Well, did they not get rid of him a year too they're getting rid of him a year too late.
No, I don't think they are. Because I still think people will say, hey, Gronk, he's going to get healthy, he's going to be amazing. But I agree with you now, Tony. We've seen the last of Gronk in the New England Patriots uniform.
It's pretty a sad ending when you look at what he's done here. And he could be back. Like I said, they'll rush him back. But I'll tell you what, Martellus Bennett owners, right? Mm-hmm. They're really happy right now. They're going to have an opportunity to put up some big numbers going forward from a fantasy perspective. But Gronkowski, it's going to be tough next year to see where he goes in the draft and where he ends up playing. Because I think he's not going to be picked before the third round. But then it's going to be like, oh, please, somebody pick him so I don't have to pick him. Because you're going to see him there and you're going to say, man, third round, this is a former first-round guy. There's value here. I want to take him, but I don't want to take him.
And the Paul Bennett thing is interesting. I understand why people are getting excited, but to what level of excitement do you have? You know, this guy's, A, not going to turn into Gronk. B, you know, he's got back and shoulder problems. And, you know, I think that they're going to scrap the two tight end sets. It's going to be interesting because, you know, Edelman probably, you know,
is the number one piece to have
with this. And then you got Malcolm Mitchell. And you got to remember that, you know, this team is game plan specific. So I think it's definitely good to, you know, have Bennett and be, you know, have a confidence boost about it. But, you know, let's not pretend he's going to turn into Gronk either.
Who scores more points for weeks 14, 15, and 16? Malcolm Mitchell or Thielen?
Thielen.
I don't know how to say his name.
Saying like Maybelline.
Anybody?
PBR points?
I said Mitchell.
You said Mitchell, Scotty?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Adam Thielen.
I am too. The one thing that concerns me about Mitchell is how much Chris Hogan plays. Now, he's cut into Hogan's time. Yeah, and if they keep Hogan off the field, Mitchell has an ability. He's going to put up similar numbers. He's in the same role that Brandon LaFell was a couple of years when LaFell actually had a good season with the New England Patriots. So he could fall into that role there. But the two of them would do the same thing. That's the only problem with me is he playing half the snaps.
I do want to mention, Tony, as soon as you said Chris Hogan, Scott Angle had a massive shit-eating grin on his face.
Oh, no, because of what Corey said.
Corey will back me up on that grin.
Yeah, but I was laughing at a joke Corey was saying, not about Chris Hogan. I'm more excited about Malcolm Mitchell right now, actually.
Hey, so everyone's now talking about Martellus Bennett and what he could do and he's going to do.
Be inconsistent.
Let me tell you this. So our guy Raymond Summerlin tweeted this yesterday.
Our guy?
Well, I like Raymond Summerlin.
Oh, okay.
He said, quote, Bennett has played six games where Gronk has either been limited or out this year. He has a 13.2% target share in those games, under 25 yards, four of those six games.
Yeah, he's going to be inconsistent.
I just think everyone's going to fall in love with Martellus. You own Martellus Bennett, you're going to start him, you'll be excited about him, you're going to fall in love, there's a very good chance he lets you down.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. One of his best games was against Seattle on November 13th. Seven catches for 102 yards. Gronk played in that game again.
What about the game he had three touchdowns Gronk played in?
What's that?
The game he had three touchdowns Gronk played.
I said one of the best games.
No. I agree with you. I'm saying another one of the best games also had Gronk in the game.
Yeah.
It's a difference, though, in contests when all of a sudden this guy's gone for the year now, and it's your position, and then all of a sudden the New England Patriots change their game plan. Because remember, going into a lot of these game plans, you never knew whether Rob Gronkowski was going to play or not going into Sunday. Basically, things were thrown together. Martellus Bennett was a guy that was moved around from a one tight end set to a two tight end set. Now he's going to be the guy. Hell, Martellus Bennett lined up in the backfield someplace.
You're absolutely right. So, with Rob Gronkowski, is this the Madden curse, Corey? Or was he cursed before Madden?
I didn't think about that.
I was watching some stuff last night, and the scouting report came in the league. When he came in the league, if he can ever stay on the field, he'd be a very good player. Yeah. But they said his back was going to be a problem throughout his entire NFL
career.
Yeah.
They got him in the fourth round from the University of Arizona, and he had first-round grades because of the injuries. People thought the Patriots had lost their mind taking Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski in the same draft.
Well, they did.
That's the Madden curse that went by the boards like about 2-3 years ago. It was actually before that, though. I think Calvin Johnson actually broke it.
That's our guy right up there. We got the fat head in the studio, CJ. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Calvin Johnson, one of the best fantasy players.
So now Gronk obviously injured out for the year, but what I haven't heard is some stupid narrative that he partied all offseason and that's why he didn't train hard enough to get injured. I haven't heard that, thankfully, and I'm glad I haven't, honestly.
Now, I think the NFL, though, needs to change their rules. I think that you should be able to take steroids and whatever you can do to get back on the field. Because these guys, right, if any sport deserves to do whatever you can to get back on the field, it's the NFL.
Both Jordan Reed, Rob Gronkowski, they were the first two tight ends off your board this year.
Yeah.
Both fantastic. Both battled with injuries all year. On and off, Rob Gronkowski, on and off, Jordan Reed. What do we do going forward, guys, next year, knowing that we know how talented Gronk is, we know how talented Jordan Reed is, but these guys have major, major injury risks. In fact, a lot of these tight ends that you draft and that we never are very consistent at the tight end position have injury risks. Jimmy Graham, crazily enough, he had maybe the most injury risk coming off a monster major knee injury, and he's been as healthy as an ox.
Yeah, and then he's had a great year, and then you have Tyler Eifert who gets hurt.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
They all get hurt.
No,
there are two that don't get hurt.
Witten and Greg Olsen.
No. Yeah. There's another one we're forgetting about, okay? First off, I'll say Olsen, yes, he's durable, but he's having a disappointing year.
Agreed.
Delaney Walker.
He's been hurt.
But Delaney Walker
he's
just
been hurt.
He misses time.
He missed games this year.
Delaney Walker misses time. He's consistent.
Yeah.
But my thing with him in 2017 moving forward, double-digit rounds.
Yeah.
See a guy you like. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing the Travis Kelce thing no more. I'm not dealing with Tyler Eifert being the game-time decision every week. I'm not spending up for these tight ends. It makes no damn sense. It makes none.
You'll find your Jack Doyle and you'll worry about it.
There you go. Give me a Jack Doyle and a shot of Hennessy.
Right.
Yeah.
Jack Doyle. Yeah, and you'll be in the position I am. I'm actually in this week, Jack Doyle, Lance Kendricks, Vance McDonald, and that crap.
There you go.
It doesn't feel good, to be honest.
Get a shot of Hennessy and make it feel better.
Get a shot of Hennessy.
You know, you guys like to talk a lot about, like, these rap stars. They're supposedly tough guys. How about Luke Bryan last night got off the stage and punched a fan in the face?
Who did that?
He's a country singer.
Luke Bryan.
Yeah. The guy gave him the finger, and that was too far.
Tony just pulled an angle. We're having a nice conversation about tight ends. He talks about Luke Bryan.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, you talk about that hip-hop dichotomy. You look at, like, a lot of the country videos, and they're very hip-hop-like, you know, with all the glam and the girls. It's like, I'll never forget the first time I saw the Honky Tonk Badonkadonk, and, like, that's a rap video.
Do they have a video of him punching it? Oh, yeah, let me look at it right
now. Yeah, you can Google it.
You know what, though? It's an every genre. Like, Axl Rose will pull something like that, too.
Yeah. Oh, he got some moves, this guy right here. He kind of...
How did we just get from Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed, Rob Gronkowski, to you watching a video about Luke Bryan, Tony ignoring the conversation and watching a video about Luke Bryan, and Scott talking about the Donks?
Yeah, he just punched him in
tight
the face. He's doing a little dance.
I'm the only one that stayed on topic.
I know.
Madonkadonk, tight end.
Shockingly enough.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break here. We come
good
back.
For him.
Stay on target.
More headlines, including T.Y. Hilton not practicing, and the latest on Sammy Watkins. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts. Back here on the Roto Experts in the morning.
What is this? What kind of generic music is this?
This is funk / house music.
Okay.
That's not house music. It's funk music.
I don't know what it was.
You just think it's bad.
I don't think it doesn't have a house feel.
It was groovy.
Scott, what do you know about house music?
I used to listen to it like in the 90s, you know.
House music a thing in the 90s?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Scott's a former DJ.
Yes. Yes. He is Scotty Lou.
He's probably big.
It's got a little.
Probably big into the house music.
I don't want. Not that there's anything wrong with it, I think that's the kind of music that they play in the alternative lifestyle clubs.
No, they play that in the normal clubs. To be honest with you,
that kind of song.
What do you mean you think, like, Scott? You don't go, and like, are you against going
I've
to
been,
those?
I've
kind
been
of
to
clubs?
One.
You should. You should have prefaced this. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
My wife. My wife.
2016.
My wife and I. My wife and I.
Your wife and I.
Some friends of ours. We went to one down in Florida.
Oh, really? Who's the friend?
What?
Who's the friend?
Friend of my wife's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
It was a unique experience.
Really?
Yeah. It was unusual. Yeah.
What'd you wear?
We're done with this.
I would wear to a regular dance club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually gone to some of those cross-dressing shows where they imitate, like, their famous artists.
Those are
fun. They're pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. T.Y. Hilton did not practice yesterday.
Oh, no.
But Stephen Holder, beat reporter in Indy, probably the best there, says we should not be worried yet.
Ooh, I just saw a tweet.
Do you trust Stephen Do you trust Stephen Holder, or are you worried about T.Y.?
I like the comment until I heard yet.
I don't know. I might have added the yet.
He practiced Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday. That doesn't look good.
Well,
to
Wednesday
me.
Wasn't a real practice. Yeah. Corey said it right. He was at practice on Wednesday, but they didn't have to report anything because it wasn't a real practice. Yep. They played Monday night. Yesterday was the first practice they needed to report. He was a DNP.
Yep. It's a Monday night thing.
Let's see what happens today.
You don't have to set your lineup at
7:52
on a Friday
has had morning.
A couple weeks this season.
He's not going to practice.
Where he's not, yeah, exactly. Where he hasn't practiced and he still played. T.Y. Hilton is not going to practice, and he's going to be active on Monday night. So you got to deal with it. And you got to play.
It's Monday night, too, so he still could practice Saturday, too.
Here's the exact tweet. It's even better than what I kind of ad-libbed what it was. Colts practice report just released. Reflects no practices for T.Y. Hilton today, but I do not have a reason to suspect that he won't play.
Yeah. He's done it a couple times this season.
Yeah. And he won't play, and Corey will be like, beat reporters.
Yeah, I will blame him.
Yeah.
No, I think that basically you're not going to find out until the hour and a half before the game, and you just need an alternative plan. I'm leaning on him playing. I think it's a game where they have to run off a bunch of – and he was on the sideline. He had the back thing on, and he played. He came back in the game. So it's a nagging injury. He's going to give it a go. I think the whole question is not whether he plays. It's whether he plays four quarters or we get in a Sammy Watkins situation, and he's out there for a limited amount of plays.
Well, let's talk about
A from Inside Injuries on Old School Fantasy, 120 Eastern today. We will ask him about T.Y. Hilton.
Let's talk about Sammy Watkins here for a second. Right?
You see what Adam Schefter just tweeted, 34 minutes ago?
No.
Sammy Watkins still has a broken bone in his foot.
So that's where he's getting it. So that comes from Anthony Lynn. So Anthony Lynn, the offensive coordinator, says he gives Sammy Watkins a lot of credit because he still has a broken bone in his left foot.
Jesus. And we spent the entire last weekend worried about if we should play him, and he still got the broken bone in his foot.
Yep. Well, this is what one of us said, and everyone, Sammy's back! Yay! Sammy Watkins,
I believe the foot has 279 bones, and I don't think they're all needed.
Sammy Watkins, he practiced yesterday.
He's going to break another
Rex Ryan. He practiced yesterday. Rex Ryan says he has no reason to expect that Sammy Watkins won't play
Rex
on Sunday.
Ryan.
But Anthony Lynn says he has no idea if Sammy Watkins is going to give him one snap or 20 snaps. How comfortable are you, gentlemen, in playing Sammy Watkins?
I'm not going to.
Tony?
I stand corrected. There's only 26 bones in the foot. There are 33 joints, 107 ligaments, and 19 muscles.
He's got 25 to go.
So the problem is, like I said this last week too, is that, you know what? I want to see him play 1 week, but the thing is always that second week, because it's a guy that hasn't played all season. He's going to play on that foot. In practice, you don't go full speed.
Right.
You don't even wear a uniform. So we didn't know what was going to happen. Now this is looking not good. I don't think there would be any way I would play him. Just based on everything I hear, I don't think I could play him.
I think it'd be tough. I mean, I like the situation. I like the game. Everything would have lined up. But you just look at it. You know what I'm saying? Over under at 49, opened up at 50. This is going to be some offense. I like the way Tyrod Taylor's been playing so far this season. But I'm just looking down. What do you really think you can get? I mean, if you want three catches for 44 yards. Sure.
What you had last
week. How many yards do you have to catch? You expect him with, you know, broken, you know,
listen,
with a broken bone in the foot.
Last week. That's what you can get from Sammy Watkins. Last week, you had the one big play. That's what you asked for. You got your one big play. He played, what, was it 45% of the snaps or whatnot?
Yep.
Last week is what you can get.
Wasn't this a setback, though?
No.
This is not a setback. He hasn't been healthy at all. Period. He ain't been healthy in over a year.
Correct. This is not a setback. He has foot soreness because he's playing with a broken foot, broken bone in his foot.
Yeah, they've been lying to us the whole time.
Of course they have, because they're freaking liars.
Yep.
Sammy Watkins.
He lies.
Sammy Watkins is going to play. Sammy Watkins has an opportunity to do what he did last week. And if you're comfortable with that, and maybe he gets into the end zone, right? Maybe he gets into the end zone with that. Well, maybe he doesn't. You're not going to see a consistent workload from this guy.
It's like Tony just said, I hate liars. I feel fooled because I'm no doctor, and I'm looking at the eye test. 62-yard catch looks to me like he's back, but then I hear he's playing with a broken bone in his foot.
That's what I'm saying, and that's what I've been saying, that we can never trust that this guy's healthy, and he's not.
No.
I can't trust it. I can't use it at this important time of the year.
Mike Florio is the Buffalo Bills fan. Florio, you're on, with me, I kind of know the ins and outs of my team. What can you tell me about the Buffalo Bills and Sammy Watkins that I don't know already?
I mean, you pretty much know it. It's going to be a very scary situation. They're gonna have to ride him out, but he's hurt.
He's hurt. Sammy Watkins is hurt, right? He's got a broken bone in his foot. Robert Woods is out this weekend. Marquise Goodwin hurt his wrist in practice yesterday. He's going to be out. Percy Harvin's out with migraines.
Walter Powell's out.
Whoever that guy is, he's out. So they literally have nobody else besides Sammy Watkins and Justin Hunter. That's it.
And LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy. We'll take a break. More headlines on the other side.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two here on the Roto Experts. He is live from Rockin' Riley's inside Studio 34 in New York City. Scott Engel, Tony Sincotta, Corey Parson, Greg Sussman here. Michael Florio doing a fantastic job producing as always. He's Mike Lyon coming up 9 o'clock hour. The defending champ will sit this one out because, no reason to participate when there's no competition here. So.
Hey, Greg, can I ask you a basketball question?
You can always ask me a basketball question.
I did a hot roster Thursday night football / NBA last night.
Yes.
And I hit everything, right?
So are you a millionaire then?
No, I'm not a millionaire, brother. I missed on Stephon Diggs and Dez Bryant. I went with Diggs. But it says I had the under on Rodney Hood. What happened to Rodney Hood?
Right last night?
Yeah.
Right?
He didn't play last night.
Why not?
He
hurt his ankle the night before.
Achilles, it was? Some Achilles injury, I believe it is.
Yeah. I wish I'd have known that.
You listen to the FNTSY news desk, you'll hear that kind of stuff.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely
Tony's very
right.
Thorough
that was
Achilles
last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a killer last night because that happened at 7:03. Yeah. So if you were playing DFS, that news came out 3 minutes after.
Well,
how does DraftKings compensate people for that?
Yes. No, you can't. There's no compensation
for
that.
I'm joking.
No. To be fair, Tony, he did leave the game the night before. He left that early with an ankle/Achilles injury. So you knew going in there's a good chance he'd play.
But here's the problem. It's not Rodney Hood is the problem. Is that when you have Hood and Favors out,
right.
You should have went and put Gordon Hayward in your lineup.
Also, George Hill didn't play last night either.
Yeah, right. Gordon Hayward ended up being like an easy play 3 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward
And that was the advantage of the DFS that people don't get. Like when they took out the late lineup switches, it really hurts the advanced player the most because they know what to do in that situation. It's not that a certain guy that you have in your lineup is going to be out. It's actually what happens after that. Like, so all of a sudden, nobody has Hood in their lineup, but all of a sudden you see George Hill out, you see Hood out, Derek Favors out, you say, man, Gordon Hayward's going to be the only guy that can score on the team, and then you put him in your lineup. So that, to me, favored the advanced player big time.
Let's get back here to the NFL. And some of the headlines here from yesterday. Tyrell Williams, once again, doesn't practice.
Yeah.
He's got the shoulder injury. We'll see if he practices today. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. Does Dontrelle Inman become a must-play if Tyrell Williams sits out, Scotty? Ooh,
I've already picked him up in a few leagues, and I was saying,
oh, I own him. I just want to know if I have to play.
I think he's a very strong play because, you know, I think Rivers, you know, the man of the matchup, and I kind of like it against Tampa Bay this week. They're going to throw the ball. He's going to be their go-to guy. You got Williams. You don't know Travis Benjamin. A PCL can be very tricky. He was a decoy last week. Yeah, there's not a lot of depth there. Antonio Gates is a red zone target. You know, you look at tight ends. You know, maybe it means a little bit of a boost for Hunter Henry, but you can't trust him.
I have a question that's kind of similar to questions I've been asking all week, and I thought it'd be interesting to bring it up now. Start two of these four: Marquise Wilson, Kenny Britt, Tyreek Hill, Dontrelle Inman. Basically, similar variation of the same. Four guys or so that we've been throwing together.
I go Inman and Hill because it's not looking good for Macklin to return this week.
Despite limited practices each of the last 2 days, I don't know how not good
it could be. One of those guys who's limited this week and then he finally returns next week.
Could be. Yes, Tony?
I took for granted Macklin's going to play. So to me, it would be Hill. But Hill would be the number one player for me if Macklin doesn't play in that game. I think people are writing off Kenny Britt too early against this New England Patriots team. I think Goff can throw the ball 50 times in this game. Kenny Britt's going to get 12 targets, 14 targets. I actually like Kenny Britt.
So you're going Kenny Britt, Tyreek Hill, okay?
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, mm-hmm. if Macklin, I like Dontrelle Inman a lot this week too. Wow. But it's between Britt and Inman, and I think I lean Inman.
So he says he actually had Kenny Britt and Tyreek Hill in right now, exactly the guys that Tony said. Mm-hmm. I said I was leaning Dontrelle Inman and Marquez Wilson. No love for Marquez Wilson. I mean, these are options.
I like Marquez Wilson.
We like him. You know what I'm saying?
But if there's no Macklin, I like Hill better.
And that's totally reasonable. And it's funny because I sit here, guys.
This is the Atlanta Falcons. You know what I'm saying?
I sit here in my own league with similar options. I have Marvin Jones, Dontrelle Inman, Marquise Wilson. I mean, those are my three options.
I like Britt as a DFS play in a seasonal. I just don't know if I could bring myself to do it because Goff could throw a lot, but then Goff could also really play badly. He's been very inconsistent and erratic, so I kind of want to avoid it. But for DFS, I like it.
And then I got my guys, the same three I've asked you about all week, Tony. Quincy Enunwa, Dontrelle Inman, Kenny Britt, Doriel Green Beckham.
Enunwa.
Nope.
Yeah, I like Inman.
I got two of them.
The Inman thing, I think we're getting too far into this. If all three
Inman
of those guys dress, yeah, if all three of those receivers dress for that game, I don't see how you can have the confidence you guys do in Dontrelle Inman.
I'm saying Tyreek Williams doesn't play.
Well, if he doesn't play, so what
it's
do you
just,
do
I mean,
if he does
play?
It's
the same situation as Macklin.
It is.
To answer Tony's question, why I would feel that way is because, you know, Williams playing with the labrum. I don't know what I get from Benjamin. I feel like Inman's the healthy guy there, and Rivers has his confidence.
Quincy Enunwa, I like ahead of Marquise Wilson in this game.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I look at that the Bears thing. We gave them a lot of love because of the opponent.
I agree.
And a lot of times I think we overrate the opponents in the matchups. The bottom line is that this is a quarterback that was a third-string quarterback on a poor team. They can't get any other wide receivers involved. We saw one game where the guy threw three touchdown passes and put together. He could have had more, but he had two interceptions as well. And I really look at Jordan Howard as John Fox tries to play this game conservatively.
I expect that, too. I agree with you, Tony. I expect a bigger game out of Jordan Howard here. Mm-hmm. Mark Ingram's toe is still bothering him, mm-hmm. and he has missed practice now 2 days in a row. Scotty, you talked about starting Tim Hightower yesterday. You got to be feeling good right now.
I feel even better about it, but I was going to start Hightower regardless. You know, this guy's versatile. I think, you know, he gets a lot of goal line looks. They'll be able to move the ball at home, so I like Hightower.
Oh, listen. Okay. This is crazy because I had my lineup set.
I'm looking at my defense, and I
had my lineup set, you know what I mean? And I had Hightower on my bench.
Right.
I had LeGarrette Blunt in my lineup.
Sure.
Can you get Blunt and Hightower
like
both in there?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Blunt to score like twice.
All right, if I was to get if I was to put Hightower in, I would have to remove either Tyler Eifert or Willie Snead.
Really seeing against Detroit at home. Oh, my goodness.
If Ingram's out, I would take Eifert out.
Yeah,
but
me
if
too.
He's not,
leave it the way it is.
I would do that. I agree with Scotty. I think in a lot of instances, even if Ingram plays, you can use Hightower in this game as well.
Yep.
He gets the ball in the backfield. And I have a hard time believing that Ingram's going to miss this game, but he's missed practice twice. And I don't know if they're looking at this, the New Orleans Saints, is like, this foot's been bottom the whole year. That's
right.
Why I think that I find it hard to believe that he's also going to miss a game.
Right.
Unless they're looking at this Detroit secondary and they're going to pass the ball a ton, and then we need this guy to get better. Let's give him this week off and get him ready for the rest of the season. Other than that, I don't know why he wouldn't play. He's had the injury the whole year.
Yeah, he has. It's been bothering him all year. I just want to make sure he didn't re-injure himself this past week. Other news and notes here. Trevor Siemian seems like a legit question mark, guys, this week. His foot's been bothering him all year. Two DNPs. Now, Gary Kubiak has said, listen, he doesn't have to practice in order to play, as most quarterbacks don't, right? Like they don't really they want them to practice, but they don't. It's not going to stop them from playing if they don't. But Siemian seems like a legit question mark. Obviously, you can't bench Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, right?
I don't think you can.
No, I don't think you can either. And I'll tell you what, I don't think they're that bad when Paxton Lynch plays. Going back to the preseason, I thought he was better than I anticipated coming in and picking him when they were, and they waiting for a year, and I was surprised they went with Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
And I didn't think Siemian would make it this season as the starting quarterback because I thought Lynch they would eventually turn to
as
the first
round. Lynch would have had the job by now. I have best ball teams with Lynch on them.
Well, Siemian's done the job.
No, he's gotten the job done. He's satisfactory. You know what I mean?
Good better job than Brock Osweiler.
Holding him off. Yeah, hell yeah, better than Brock Osweiler. But I agree with what Tony says on that one. You don't sit him because they may get a little bit more conservative in their game plan. They got the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll talk more about that when we get to the hot roster segment. But if homeboy goes Paxton Lynch, I'll still ride my guys out there.
All right.
DT and Emmanuel Sanders.
Scott, you can't bench him, right?
No, it's hard to do it.
Okay. Chris Ivory missed practice. He's not going to play this weekend.
Good.
T.J. Yeldon did practice. Playoffs on the line. Can you play T.J. Yeldon?
No.
Boy.
I feel like you're going to see some of Denard Robinson there, too.
Yeah, but T.J. Yeldon, if he's healthy, he's the guy in Jacksonville.
When has he been the guy? I've never seen him have a good game ever yet.
Yeah.
Ever. I'm just saying the guy
is going to get
the carries.
Tony said it.
I didn't say he's going to be a good game. I said he'd get the carries as the guy.
Yeah. At some point, you have to do something. And it's been 2 years for this guy. So I wouldn't play him. He doesn't do anything.
I would not be surprised to see Denard Robinson get 35 to 40% of the snaps.
Oh, I don't think so. If Yeldon's healthy, I don't think that'll happen.
Opportunities there. Like Tony says, the guy hasn't done anything to impress me.
Okay. Just asking.
He can catch four or five balls.
Yeah.
Does that impress you?
Yeah.
15 yards.
Yeah.
No practice again for Jordan.
If he catches.
Yes.
If he catches four or five balls, it's still the same as a touchdown. I mean, that would actually be decent, but he gets 20, 30 yards.
No practice again yesterday for Jordan Reed. We'll see today if he practices.
Jordan Reed's been called out already. If I'm not
no,
mistaken.
No. Jay Gruden says he has no feeling either way if he's going to wind up playing this weekend.
Okay. All
which
right.
I don't believe, obviously. But.
There was a report out there that said it's highly unlikely he'll play.
I agree. Yeah. It's highly unlikely. I'm just giving you the practice update here. Yeah. And Devontae Parker, also not getting a good vibe on this guy playing this week.
I mean, you can't.
And even if he does play, I don't know if you can do it. This is a guy that needs to be healthy to get on my team, in my roster.
What does that do, though? I don't know. Who you guys think wins that game? That's
Miami,
the most interesting
Miami.
Game on the schedule this week.
We were talking
week.
About it yesterday.
I think the San Diego game is more interesting to me. San Diego-Tampa is more fun to
okay.
me.
I feel you.
Personally. Yeah. I told you the Miami-Baltimore game, it's a good game. I just have no interest in watching that game.
You don't like AFC football, you
said.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
Something like that.
Let the barbs be accurate. Uh-oh. Don't put words in my mouth. I never said that. I'm just not interested
in it. Why are you yelling at me?
Well, the way you did it, with your eyes bulging and veins popping out of your bald head.
Yeah. Bald-headed stooge.
Yeah. And you sitting there with your bird chest and getting all upset.
Oh,
like,
here
bird
we go.
Chest? Yeah. What's a bird chest?
Yeah, you built like a bird.
Is that a compliment?
Yeah, no,
it's not a
not.
Compliment.
Why?
It's
Corey, what's a bird
He's
chest?
He's saying you puny. You know what I'm saying? He's calling you a little guy.
All right, well, at least I don't got that chub down there.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine. You'll get it when you get older, when you grow
sure
up. You know
what? When you grow up.
Let's hope not.
Some guys take a pill to get a chub.
That was way too easy. I just let that happen for him. Two more things. I want to just read you a Roto World report on Sammy Watkins from yesterday.
Here we go.
I told you about he'll play 1 or 20 plays. Anthony Lynn said that. Quote from Anthony Lynn. Last I heard, he has a broken bone in his foot. He added that he has no idea if Watkins was able to finish the season. This comes less than a week after Lynn said Watkins' conditioning was not where it needs to be. Who knows what's going to happen, basically. Sammy Watkins, major, major question mark. Brandon Cooks, Roto World says it's a classic squeaky wheel game. I thought that was hilarious. About Brandon Cooks, squeaky wheel must be greased. Finally, last point here that I have on my list to talk about. Darrell Revis backtracked yesterday. Says he still wants to play this game. He still cares.
Yeah, he cares about getting money.
Yeah.
You know what happened? Somebody leaked that out. It was bad PR. It was probably the truth.
It was probably, once again, who is the...
Bless you, Scott.
Bless you, Scott. Who is the old rat there? It was, what's his name? Mike Pettine. He was the rat to the Daily News.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yeah. He was leaking stuff.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Son of a gun.
Pettine was. Now somebody else is leaking stuff out of Jets camp. You're right. Darrell Revis did not like hearing that out in the news about him. So, all right, let's take a break now. When we come back, we're going to go game by game here, previewing, making predictions. We'll get the final word, game by game, from our analysts, the King Scott Angle, the fantasy executive, Tony Corey Parson, and Tony Cicada as well. We are the Roto Experts in the Morning, and we will be back right after this. I like this one. I like this tune, Floria. What's this one titled?
This one's titled Howdy. This is the Country Hour.
Yeah.
It's Country Hour.
Country Hour.
It's Country Hour here on the Roto Experts.
Liking some country there?
I didn't really sound like country.
Sounds country-ish to me.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you are Sky to love the DJ. We should have one day where you get to just DJ the music. Maybe you and Floria will switch seats.
DJ generic music?
It'd be all Kiss. Generic Kiss. Generic 80s hair bands.
No. Let the barbs be accurate.
You don't like
Let
that.
Let the barbs be accurate. Kiss is not generic.
Yeah, I have much wider musical taste than just that.
Yes, you do, Scotty.
We've had some hip-hop conversations, you and me, too.
Yes, you do, Scotty Love.
Yeah.
Scotty Love. Hey, let's, before we get into the games, take your phone calls at 844-843-6879. 844-84-FNTSY. You don't want to take any phone calls?
I don't want to talk to these people.
Yes, you do. Tomorrow. Tomorrow, you got to chat.
That's right.
Tomorrow, you will
tomorrow.
Be talking to these people.
I can chat with them tomorrow, not today.
Noon Eastern on Roto Experts.
So tomorrow, you're concerned about everybody else. Today, you're concerned about yourself.
Yeah, today, I'm a me guy.
Noon Eastern tomorrow on RotoExperts.com, the executive chat.
All right, the executive chat here. All right, Nathan from Florida, you are up first here on the Roto Experts. Good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
What's popping, Nathan?
I'm in a full-point PPR, and I'm sitting in a place where it's do or die this weekend. I've got a pretty deep bench, but I got a lot of the players that are dealing with possible injuries and whatnot, and I'm just not sure which way to go. So I'm looking for two wide receivers, one running back, and two flex.
You're looking for us to fill out your team. All right,
yeah,
cool.
I wish. Just email me your lineup.
You can chat with Corey.
I know.
Yeah, Nathan, you were just kidding. You can tell us.
I'm looking at DeAndre Hopkins, T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins, Marvin Jones, Spencer Ware, Matt Forte, or Doug Martin. I'm already rolling with Odell Beckham and David Johnson, so I know for sure those are locks, but I'm just not sure how to piece together those other guys.
All right, so out of those guys, how many can we bench? Makes it much easier for us.
I think two of them.
All right, bench two of them. Give us the player list again.
DeAndre Hopkins, T.Y. Hilton, Marvin Jones Jr., Spencer Ware, Matt Forte, Doug Martin, Sammy Watkins.
All right. Corey?
I sit Watkins.
Yep.
I sit Watkins, and I sit, I think I want to sit Doug Martin.
Sit Dougie Fresh.
I think I like Doug Martin this week,
so
too.
Why are you sitting Dougie Fresh, then?
Swear and Martin as the two running backs.
So it comes down basically it comes down to Forte or Martin. Which one do you want to play? Because we don't know about Hilton, but if he's playing, I would think that we're keeping him in the game.
Yep, you have to.
So I think it comes down to Forte or Martin, right?
So here's what I would do. I would.
Is it PPR?
I would start Martin. Yeah. I put Hilton in at flex. If Hilton doesn't play, you have Matt Forte to go on Monday Night Football.
You can bench two of them overall, right?
I'm sorry?
You can bench two of these overall?
Yeah. Yes.
I bench Watkins and Hopkins.
Hopkins?
Yeah, I have no confidence in Hopkins whatsoever.
I can dig that. I think you play Doug Martin.
I just like the fact that with Hilton on Monday night, you have Forte in case he doesn't play. So to me, I like that backup.
I agree with Craig. Craig, that was very good strategy.
Greg is
guys.
Greg
thank
is
you very much.
Guy.
I appreciate that. Hopefully, Jack in DC agrees because he's up next. The other Roto
Expert. Hey, what's up, Jack?
What's up, Jackie?
Jack.
Hey, how's it going? 12 team standard.
Hey, don't do that, okay? We got the window open now.
Jack, I apologize for my immature idiot co-host. What's your question?
Which one?
Team standard needs two of four.
Okay.
Marvin Jones, Sterling Shepard, Smallwood, or Sammy Watkins?
Marvin Jones, Wendell Smallwood, Sammy Watkins, or who's the last one I missed?
Sterling Shepard. I think you play Shep, and I think you play MJJ, Marvin Jones Jr.
Yeah, I agree with Corey there. You know, they're going to make an effort to get Shepard the ball. What? And Jones is what Tony talked about yesterday.
Let me ask you two guys a question, because I'm surprised at yours. Now, if Ryan Matthews don't play, why would you not use Wendell Smallwood against Cincinnati? How many points do you think Shepard and Jones get?
What are you yesterday saying you're playing Wendell Smallwood over Marvin Jones? Did you say that yesterday?
That was my question.
It's like,
it's a standard.
Yeah, you definitely got to put Smallwood
in.
Yeah, you got to play Smallwood for sure. So then it comes down to Sterling Shepard and Marvin Jones. We're not playing Sammy Watkins.
See, that's why Jack, they were still focused on your name while I was trying to help you out.
Just like, you know, what you guys talk about with the running back usage with the Eagles, though, it's like, you know, how do you know what's going to happen?
But in the standard.
Well, that's why if Matthews is out of the equation,
yeah,
you got to look at him at least having the opportunity against this Bengals team that looks decimated.
They quit.
There's a 21-team total in this one. I look for him to have without a touchdown, 12 or 13 points from Wendell Smallwood.
We're all agreeing on Smallwood now.
No.
Sterling Shepard or Marvin Jones, Corey.
Boy, Sterling Shepard or Marvin Jones in a non-PPR.
I'm going Shepard.
You going Shepard?
Yeah.
Tony?
I'm going Marvin Jones. That's a game with a point total that could be in the 60s.
Corey?
I am going to go with Marvin Jones.
I'm going with Marvin Jones as well. Obviously, Scotty hates Marvin Jones.
I don't hate him as much.
Jack,
as I
stand on it.
You don't hate him anymore?
I don't hate him alone.
Like Shepard.
And that's fine. So how did we get you back on Marvin Jones?
When Tony went down, see, what I've historically done is like I always watch football first and apply it to fantasy. And when Tony, you know, talked about the larger receiver against a smaller defensive back, you know, I'm just like, you can't argue with that.
It made you.
That was the one that convinced you. Not anything that Corey or I
threw
said.
Me over to the other side. Certainly not anything you said.
Right.
I thought about some what Corey said, and then Tony put me over the edge.
Right.
He went over to the. You said you went over to the other side.
Yeah.
With that, when you went to that club in Florida,
so that was easy to see coming.
I went with my wife. Though.
Oh, okay, my bad. You never went back up like just you and your homies.
Yeah.
No. You and your homies.
You're
never
single
went back.
Though. We can take you back there.
So
that'd be weird.
You guys all talked about Wendell Smallwood
and
getting him in the starting lineup here. Ryan Matthews is not going to play this week, and Frank Reich said yesterday he's battling a pretty significant injury, which I think we all figured out, right? Tony, this is week 13. Playoffs start next week for most people. So for some people,
I know where you're going, Greg.
Can we drop Ryan Matthews?
Oh, yeah. If you need a roster spot to fill it up, absolutely. I think we say this all year, but it really comes into play. It's 1 week at a time. If you need that roster spot this week, like say you have a T.Y. Hilton situation,
right?
You don't know if he's going to play. If you got Tyreek Hill, but you're only going to use him if Jeremy Maclin doesn't play, so you need to get someone else involved on your roster. Yeah. You gotta get rid of him.
I agree. I totally agree. The fact is, this guy, you don't ever want to play him anyway. When he's hurt, he's always hurt, and then when he's banged up and he'll come back, eventually he probably won't be the starter anymore anyway. I think Ryan Matthews is absolutely droppable if you need a roster spot for somebody.
I think he gets the job when he comes back.
See,
though,
I think
when is he coming back?
I think he gets the job when he come back. And then the volume.
Gets the job. What's the job? Four carries?
The Eagles, the running back of the Philadelphia Eagles. They're not. The Eagles are still in this thing.
The main ball carrier for the Eagles.
Well, the main ball carrier? He's had one game where he had 15 carries. One!
I like
Greg, the main ball
you're
carrier.
Right twice in the show.
Thank you very much.
Twice in the show, Greg's been very right.
Wow.
The main ball carrier in this offense is really, when there's three of them in there, has been nothing. And Ryan Matthews has got the start. Like Greg said, he's had four carries.
Yeah. He's had 15 carries three times. But
he's the most talented back on the team.
Well, we've said that all year. So week one, he had 22
carries. I'm not disagreeing
with that. He was fantastic, right? Then it took until week 10 for him to have over 15 carries.
Doug Peterson,
twice
what the hell
all
he doing?
I agree with that.
This is what we've been saying all along.
I agree with
you. You can't trust the Eagles running
yes,
game.
Yes, you're
but
so
when,
right.
When he's back, though, he's probably going to still be in the mix there, though, somehow. And, like,
one
thing you'll know, that he'll be the goal line guy.
Agree. So then, but what's the difference then between Ryan Matthews and Matt Asiata? Nothing. Nothing.
No, Ryan Matthews.
I think he'll have more yardage than Matt Asiata.
Why do you say that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Give me one moment. He had, let me read you the yard. Let me just read you his yardage from week three on. Okay. You know what? He was injured. So let me do it when he comes back. October 9th. He goes back after the bye. 11 for 42, 9 for 60, 14 for 56, 4 for 10, 5 for 15. Then he had 19 for 109, 7 for 31.
How many touchdowns?
He has on the year?
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of touchdowns.
There
honestly.
You go.
2, 4, 6, 7.
He's got seven
touchdowns. Now you read me numbers like 50 yards, 60 yards,
right.
Stuff like that.
Right.
Asiata, 13, 14 yards, 15 yards, 6 yards.
Asiata is just like a nothing but a touchdown.
13, 20, 27. Yeah, so then 5.
Now, and you know, they got AP doesn't play, so it's comparable there. All I'm saying is, both of these guys, in my opinion, are touchdown dependent. Asiata's at least healthy.
Listen, I'm crossing my fingers if I put him in my lineup.
Right.
I don't think he's cuttable at this point.
Why?
Because you could use him in week 15 if he comes back and you're in the pickle. You could use him. He's better than anything on the waiver wire. You're not going to get you'd rather have him on Rex Burkhead.
That's the point.
You'd rather have him on Jannard Robinson.
When you throw that open-ended question out there, should I just cut him? It always comes back to, well, for who? And what's out there right now? Nothing.
I agree.
You cut him to pick up Denard Robinson?
No. Right. I'm not.
Because that's what's out there.
I'm not. You're right. But if there's a guy out there, right, if I needed this week, for instance, right, I need a wide receiver, Marquise Wilson was out there, I would have cut Ryan Matthews to Marquise Wilson.
And I would do it.
Yeah, you would do it. Yeah. Like to Tony's point when he said, you know, you were right to begin with, but it depends on the situation. You don't cut him just to cut him.
I agree. You don't cut anybody just to cut them.
The original premise, though, was that is he all right to cut? If you listen to this, this is week 13, right?
Right.
He didn't play last week. He doesn't play this week. You need a wide receiver because you had T.Y. Hilton or you had Jeremy Maclin or something like that. So you go and get him. And then week 15, he's still available on the waiver wire for you to pick up if you want to go back and get him.
If you're still in it.
Or if you don't get him, yeah, and if you're still in it, right, you could be out of the playoffs. So you wait till week 15 for what? You might be done. Okay. And then basically you win 2 weeks. You didn't use Ryan Matthews. So now you put Ryan Matthews in your lineup. You take somebody out, and he has 5 carries and injures whatever he has again because he's always injured. You'll be jumping off the 5th floor of that building because you're an idiot for putting him back in your lineup.
Let me ask you this.
See, in that situation, it makes sense.
Let me ask you
what Tony said.
I have another question about that. I have another question about that. We're getting ready for the playoffs, right, guys? This is our goal, is to win the playoffs, right?
Yes,
all right.
Always.
You have found yourself, Corey, this week from Monday on, asking me about, what defense do I put in, right?
Yeah.
Should I drop Ryan Matthews for defense for next week? I'm not playing Ryan Matthews this week. I know that. But I'm trying to get set for the playoffs. I don't care. I want to get set for the playoffs. I'm not starting the Dallas defense next week against the Giants. That's not going to happen. I have all these defenses available. None of them are on the waiver wire. They're all free agents right now. Can I drop Ryan Matthews for my defense for next week? What defense would it be? Which Scott would have asked. I'll pick up Cincinnati against Cleveland.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah. I think it depends on the situation. You and Tony gave out two situations where it makes sense. But there's other situations.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it for a defense either.
You would not do it for a defense?
No. Okay. I would take
See,
a
you
shot
know what? There's it in a nutshell. Tony made a great... You know, a example
okay.
about you know why he would
okay.
would ended up somebody jumping off the fifth floor of the hotel. And then and then there's another example where he said he wouldn't. So it really depends on what. And it's sometimes it can be dangerous when we're on the air because people will say, should I cut Ryan Matthews? And you say yes. And then they'll cut Ryan Matthews and they'll pick up, you know, Josh Bellamy. You know, it depends on what the situation is.
How do you think you get hurt bad if you jump off the fifth floor?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Not fatal, though.
You're going to die.
Kind of a question.
You might. You yeah. might. You might.
You think it could be fatal from the fifth floor?
It's pretty high. You go outside. You go outside, yeah. rocking around. It's pretty high.
Okay. I'm not going to try. What are you talking about? Try? I got two.
What
kids,
kind of question
Scott?
Is that?
No, I was figuring: would you break a leg? Would you have like a back thing? You know what I'm saying? Or would it be a fatality?
Let's take a break.
Been hanging out with Tony for too long.
When we come back, we're gonna do. We're gonna go get my game and make the picks for the weekend. It's the Road to Westbrook in the morning. We'll be right back. This is much more country for sure for you. Yeah, this guy clapping and he's doing this thing where his hands is jiving. He's not twirling the microphone cord.
Oh, I know who I can cut.
Who are you gonna cut?
Tyler Lockett.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Yes, you can cut.
He made it all the way to week 13.
I cut him 2 weeks ago.
This guy cut him 2 weeks ago. Yeah. That's crazy. Let's go game by game, gentlemen. Make our predictions, our final thoughts here on the game. Final thoughts.
I'm sorry, Tyler. It was nice having you sit on the bench the whole season.
Did you play Tyler Lockett one time this year?
Not one time. No, I think I played him week one. That's it. That's the only time he made my lineup.
I cut Alan Hearns this week after he rode my bench all year.
Yeah. Do you feel bad after you?
No.
No, you just like.
I was like, goodbye.
Maybe next year.
Someone texted me, like, why did you cut Alan Hearns? Like, why did I own Alan Hearns? That was a better question.
Yeah.
I had a draft. I took him in the fourth round. He was a humongous disappointment.
Yeah. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to Atlanta this week. The line is 4.5. Your final thoughts here, Corey Parson.
Oh, this should be a good one right here. Listen, what we've seen from the Atlanta Falcons so far all season is they are, when they are at home and they're in the dome, doesn't make a difference. The offense is very good. Now, this is a good setup for on the other side of the football. This is a good setup for Spencer Ware. Hopefully, this is the week we finally see him get back in the end zone. Tyreek Hill is a thing.
Is a thing.
And we have to respect that. I like Travis Kelce. He's one of the top tight ends this week. So I think that we got a game over under of 49. I think we see some fireworks in the dome. So I think you get most of your top-notch guys. They're out there. You get your Tevin Coleman's in the lineup. You get your Travis Kelce's, your Tyreek Hill's. I don't think we see Macklin again this week. So load them up, you know what I mean? And I'll take Cincinnati to cover.
Scott? Cincinnati to cover. That
I mean,
play.
Excuse me, Kansas City to cover.
There you go.
Atlanta is terrible also against the running backs. We've talked to you know, about how bad they are against quarterbacks and wide receivers. 22.3 fantasy points per game allowed. So I like Spencer Ware to at least be adequate. They're fifth worst against tight ends, 9.9 points allowed. And you know, at this time of year, look, I know people want to get rid of this position and they don't like to talk about it, but every position is important. I picked up Cairo Santos in about two leagues. He's been really good lately, and kickers average about 8.5 points against the Atlanta Falcons. So
that's not bad.
You know, there's something to be said there for Kansas City.
Who are you more comfortable out of these two players putting in your lineup, Tyler Gabriel or Tevin Coleman?
Tyler Gabriel's his name.
Tyler.
Nope.
Taylor?
Yep.
Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. Taylor Gabriel or Tevin Coleman? I feel comfortable with Tevin Coleman.
When I go to get in a close situation like that, I feel the running back is more likely to touch the ball. Plus, he's got some big playability.
If Macklin plays, is Tyreek Hill on the bench?
For who?
If Macklin's active, you have Gabriel and Tyreek Hill. Which one you put in your lineup?
I'm still going to go Hill. I feel like he'll be involved somehow. I feel like Gabriel's boom or bust.
Okay.
Tony, Atlanta, KC, how you looking at it?
Atlanta 28, Kansas City 24. I like Julio Jones to get. The Kansas City offense just ain't going to put enough points up. The Atlanta team's going to score against Kansas City allows the second most points to wide receivers in the National Football League.
All right. I'm going to go with Atlanta 28, Kansas City 19.
Okay. You guys feel good with Mohamed Sanu this week?
Nope.
Nope.
Never.
Okay. New Orleans and Detroit. The Saints are a six-point favorite, Tony.
You know what? I love the New Orleans Saints to put up 40 points in this game. And Drew Brees at home against the Lions secondary. I think it's the first time that I think you can use a stack, and I think you can use two wide receivers from the Saints in this one, Drew Brees in this contest in your daily fantasy games. I like the Saints to be 42, the Detroit Lions to be 31.
For those of you missing Gronkowski, et cetera, the Lions are the worst team
AJ
against the
Derby.
Tight end.
What? Sorry.
Was he traded? Detroit is the worst team against the tight end in the NFL. They allow 11.4 points per game. You can consider Kobe Fleener this week, I think, if you're desperate. And I'm going to say New Orleans 34, Detroit 31.
It's Corey.
For fantasy-wise, all the particulars, run them out there. Be careful of Brandon Cooks in DFS. Everybody's going to be like, oh, nobody's going to play him because he
will
last week. And everybody's going to come back on him this week.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be back on him this week. I think I'd be a guy to sit that one out. I love Theo Riddick in this game right here.
He's top seven for me this week.
Yeah, Eric Ebron's another guy I like in this contest. So I think you load up all your guys in this high-scoring environment this upcoming weekend. Give me the New Orleans Saints 29, the Detroit Lions 25. That's a change from yesterday.
The change from yesterday. All right.
Yesterday, I like Detroit more.
That's why yesterday wasn't the prediction day.
Prediction
day. The Los Angeles Rams head to New England without Robert Gronkowski, Scott.
Yeah, no Gronkowski, so it'll be interesting to see how they distribute the ball here. They're still a very well-coached team. I think LeGarrette Blount's going to have a pretty good day. Los Angeles allows 18.2 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. I think Blount gets to the end zone at least once. Malcolm Mitchell will continue to be involved. You can consider him as your wide receiver three. Like Tony was saying, this team's going to get behind. I would say I'm not using Todd Gurley because he's going to be out of the mix. We could see some more Benny Cunningham. Maybe they play some catch-up here to the point where you like Kenny Britt, but I'm benching Todd Gurley this week.
Tony?
You're going to bench him.
Yeah, okay. I am.
I like that call.
Tony?
New England Patriots in this one, 35. The Los Angeles Rams, 13. In this one, from a fantasy perspective, I agree. LeGarrette Blount is a guy that could get you 100 yards and a couple touchdowns in this game. He'll be the one guy that you'll want to own from the Rams side. I like Lance Kendricks. I like Kenny Britt. I think they have decent days for fantasy owners if you need help in those two areas.
Tony, let me ask you a question. You said Jared Goff is going to throw the ball 40 times in this game. You only foresee 13 points?
Yeah.
Not even like stacked,
but they don't break.
Not even like stacked up like late touchdowns?
No.
Corey.
Yo.
What do you mean, yo? The Patriots and the Rams.
Good game. Nah.
Really?
It should be fun. Nah, here we go right here with the Patriots and the Rams. This is where I am standing fantasy-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You got to tell me something very good in order to bench Todd Gurley. Because I think he at least gets you 10 to 11 in the PPR. And listen, it is what it is. He's a healthy body at running back. So I take it right there. Kenny Britt, I say he gets 4 or 5 receptions. Same thing goes for Lance Kendricks. So I'm not really high. Obviously, the guys already talked about LeGarrette Blount. I also think Deion Lewis and James White are nice players in PPR. Julian Edelman is a piece that you are going to have going down the stretch. He wasn't the best in the beginning towards the middle of the season. But for your stretch run with no Rob Gronkowski and the PPR, Julian Edelman is going to be a guy that's going to take teams far because he's going to start to rack up that volume. Martellus Bennett, cross your fingers, temper your expectations. Now, all of these tight ends have been inconsistent so far this season, and Malcolm Mitchell is a fringe play. But I would start Kenny Britt before I start Malcolm Mitchell.
Okay. The next game up, the Broncos and the Jaguars.
About 28-16.
Sure. The Broncos and the Jaguars in Jacksonville. We don't know the availability of Trevor Siemian, Corey.
Yeah, if Trevor Siemian is out there, still, we don't think, we talked about it in the break. That was the break, right?
No, that was on the air.
We still like the fact that we think Paxton Lynch can get in there and get some work done, so the wide receivers are fine. I think Devontae Booker is a play that I like in this competition right here. He gets a little bit soft the defense. He's going to touch the ball about 20 times, so I have no problem with putting Book in your lineup. Don't worry about it. I understand you may be down on him because he hasn't lived with expectations so far. Blake Bortles is still going to throw the football 37, 38, 39, 40 times, so you get him in your lineup. The running back situation is bleak. I like Yeldon. You know, he'll catch a couple passes, but temper your expectations with that. Allen Robinson, I almost think you could sit him this week. So, yeah, the Jaguars' passing game is going to be in big trouble this week. But I like Devontae Booker as my favorite fantasy play in this contest. Give me Denver 26, Jacksonville 16.
Tony.
I look at this game. I think the Denver Broncos pull it out because somehow Jacksonville finds a way to lose every week.
Sure.
23-20 in this one, so the Jaguars will actually cover the number. I think that Allen Robinson, just based on the number of attempts that he's going to get and targets, is going to get you double-digit fantasy points. So I don't think it'll be a total washout. And Marquise Lee is going to be interesting on the other side. I think you'll get similar numbers from him as well in that one. I don't like the running game at all. As far as Booker goes, since that game where he got that initial start, he got a little banged up in that game. See, it hasn't been the same running back, so I'm interested to see how he plays. And I don't care if you get Paxton Lynch. We said this earlier in the show, but if you just joined, I would play both the wide receivers for Denver.
Scott.
Yeah, Jacksonville's kind of middle of the pack of, you know, when it comes to run defense. You know, the defense hasn't been awful. They allow 17.8 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. I don't think there's a lot of upside for Booker there. You know, he's like a decent flex with maybe something of a floor and not much of a ceiling. Again, with kickers here, I think this could be a lower scoring game, especially if Lynch is in there. No team scores more kicker points. Allows more kicker points than the Jaguars, 10.9 per game. So I'm liking Brandon McManus as like one of my favorite kicker picks this week. I'm gonna go Denver 20 and Jacksonville 13.
Let's break here. When we come back, we got a whole lot more games to cover, including the Texans and the Packers, Eagles and Bengals. And what Corey may say is the game of the weekend, the Ravens and the Dolphins. We continue on, going game by game. Coming up next. We are back on the Roto Experts. Corey Parson, Tony Zicana, Scott Angle, Greg Sussman here with you. Let's continue going game by game, shall we?
Yeah, we'll do that until, you know,
Till the sun goes down.
Do that till the sun goes down. We got the king had to take a powder his nose.
Right.
So he'll be back in a second.
Use the people's toilet.
Yes.
Let's go to...
He had to powder his dome.
let's not go there.
Yeah, let's not
Green
do that.
Bay and Houston, Tony. Packers 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah, the Packers. Can you believe they're a 6.5-point favorite over anyone the way they played the last month up until last week? A little concerned about this Aaron Rodgers injury. He's had a little practice this week with that. I'm a little concerned. The Houston Texans, though, they're not going to score enough. I think the Green Bay Packers can be a sleeper defense this week because they're going to have to throw the ball because the Packers are going to score points. So I think it could set up as a sleeper defense this week. I like DeAndre Hopkins in this game to get back on track, and that's a hard thing to do. And everybody's, you know, giving up on him. But if he can't do it against the Packers secondary, I don't know whose secondary he could do it against. And I continue to like Aaron Rodgers in this game. I think Drew Brees is by far the best quarterback play on the week, but Aaron Rodgers is second based on the number of throws he gets.
Okay. Corey?
Yep, I'm not even looking at the Houston Texans side of the football. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I dig what Tony's saying with DeAndre, but, I mean, you got to play him, so you've been playing him. Keep rolling him out there. Will Fuller, nah, you know what I mean? This is ho-hum. On the Packers side of the football, keep going with James Starks. You know what I mean? I think that the touches will be there. I can see the receptions start to be there. Also, this is the game if Aaron Rodgers is healthy and ready to go. Should see them having no problem getting the W. I like them in this competition. I do think the Texans hang around enough, though, to where the Packers don't get the 6.5. But Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, and don't be scared to go back to Bigfoot, Jared Cook.
Don't be scared to go back to Bigfoot. Scott, are you scared to go back to Bigfoot?
I'm not going to Bigfoot. Corey, don't do it to yourself. It's like you have trouble like breaking up with these guys. You should just do it. You know, just clean break there. There's every logical reason to like DeAndre Hopkins. Green Bay's third worst against wide receivers, 27.1. But, you know, long as Osweiler's in there, it's like, I don't blame you if you bench him. You can give me all the logic. I'm just like, I'm not messing with it anymore. C.J. Fedorowicz, be nice and serviceable. The Packers allowed 9.2 fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends, so I like him there. You guys mentioned James Starks. Houston gives up 19.7 fantasy points opposing running backs. That's about 11th worst. You know, he'll be involved in the passing game if they get a goal line carry. Yes, Davante Adams looks unstoppable right now, and I like Rodgers. My final score here, I'm going to say Green Bay 28 and Houston 17.
Okay.
Green Bay covers.
Green Bay covers, you say. Green Bay covers. The Philadelphia Eagles are in Cincinnati to face the Bengals, Scotty.
Yeah. The Bengals are toasted here. Tight ends do pretty well against Cincinnati. So, you know, maybe you can trot out Zach Ertz. If you have him here, you know, Smallwood's going to get some work against a defense that allows 120.5 rushing yards per game. So you can consider both Smallwood and Sproles, here as as flex plays. On the other side, it's just like, Cincinnati, it's just like, I expect Philadelphia to bounce back this week. They do allow 25.2 fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers, so you get a good day out of Tyler Boyd and Tyler Eifert, I think. You got to continue to roll with Jeremy Hill if he's catching passes. But I say Philadelphia 27, Cincinnati 17.
Tone.
I think the Philadelphia Eagles win this one 24-14. The one guy not to forget, Jordan Matthews, seeing what's going to go on with him this week. Doriel Green Beckham played pretty well in that game last week. He could be the only receiver there. I think he's a good play both in daily fantasy and could help you out this week in your season long if you have guys out.
I'm only looking at three guys on Philadelphia.
Yep.
It's Wentz, Smallwood, and Sproles. I think you get Ertz in there, but with these tight ends, you have to temper your expectations. And three guys on the other side of the football, Dalton Hill and Eifert. I think that's the way to go. So rolling out Tyler Boyd and Brandon LaFell, temper your expectations this week. And then guys like Rex Burkhead and Rex Burkhead is like, you know, that's when you are trying to, you're scratching and clawing, doing the best you can to get in. And as far as the final score goes, give me the Philadelphia Eagles with 23 points and the Cincinnati Bengals with 21 points.
All right. The Baltimore Ravens are home welcoming in the Miami Dolphins. Corey?
Yay! This is going to be a slugfest. Old school AFC. Ah, come on.
Sorry.
Greg, don't try it.
I'm sorry.
Old school AFC slugfest.
How's Rashad Perriman versus Devontae Parker?
I like the revenge factor.
Mikey Dubs.
For Mike Wallace, I like the revenge factor for that guy right there. Jarvis Landry. Let's not forget about Jarvis Landry this week. I like the Kenny Stills call. Scott was on that earlier this week. Jay Ajayi, I think you temper your expectations going up against that stout defense, but he is still going to be in the mix. As far as the Baltimore Ravens running back goes, cross your fingers. You know what I'm saying? You're going to toss and turn all night trying to figure out, make that decision. But Terrence West and Ken Dixon each in play. Dennis Pitta gets a lot of targets at the tight end position, but you can't feel good about starting him. And I still like Steve Smith, but I think Mike Wallace is the premium play on the Baltimore offense. And this very close competition, give me the Baltimore Ravens 23, the Miami Dolphins 19.
Tony.
I'm not in love with anyone from a fantasy perspective in this game. I could see playing Mike Wallace if you're in a season-long league, Steven Smith in a season-long league. If you're hurting a running back, playing either of the two Baltimore running backs. On the other side, Jay Ajayi, of course, is the guy you got to play. They do have a couple linemen back. They missed three linemen in the last game. Two of them will be back this week. I like the Miami Dolphins in this one, 24, the Ravens. They like to kick a lot of field goals, 20.
Scotty.
I think you use both defenses here. Baltimore is best against opposing running backs against the run, 12.7 points per game allowed. Not a lot of yardage for Ajayi, but I think, you know, he still gets in the end zone here. You know, Blantry could be like seven catches for like 50 yards. Stills may catch a touchdown here. On the other side of the ball, obviously with Wallace, you know, you know that dull revenge script is interesting, but you don't like anything in the running game. This could be a lower scoring game. I'm gonna say Miami 17, Baltimore 13.
All right, final 1 o'clocker here on Sunday, the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco 49ers, Tom.
I go with the Chicago Bears at home, defeating the San Francisco 49ers 31-21, and I think the Bears have two defensive touchdowns.
Scotty?
I think San Francisco, you know, nearly beat Miami last week in Miami. I think Colin Kaepernick's a top five fantasy quarterback this week. You also like Carlos Hyde. On the other side, nobody gives up more points opposing wide receivers than the San Francisco 49ers, so I like Marcus Wilson again. But you know, Jordan Howard, they're going to run him a lot too. But I think, you know, if there's one touchdown and one receiver has a decent game, it's going to be Jordan Howard. I'm going to say San Francisco 30, Chicago 27.
Corey Varson.
I think the particulars have already been named. No much reason to continue to speak on them. Don't be afraid to throw Matt Barkley out there if you're in a situation where you're extremely desperate. You know what I'm saying? also, love Jordan Howard this week. We'll use him in some DFS also. And Vance McDonald is the guy on the other side of the football that you can most rely on in the San Francisco 49er passing game. And as far as a pick goes, give me the 49ers 24, the Chicago Bears 22.
There you go. There you have those are the 1 o'clock games. We will head to the hour number 3, the last hour of the week here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And we will finish the games. We'll go over Hot Rocks. We'll play Is Mike Lyon. So much to come in hour number 3. You are not going to want to go away. For Scott Angle, Corey Parson, Tony Scott, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.